We are in trouble when we use Scripture as a weapon. We are in bigger trouble when we think that God must feel the same way that we do about people that are different than us. We are dangerous when we become too confident in our own rightness. At various spots in Scripture, we come across readings that are focused on the end of time. Our gospel lesson this morning is an example of this type of writing, which is called apocalyptic. Passages like this, when they're read in a certain light, can be construed as being very dark, a fact that I think is largely attributable to them being misused by a certain type of Christianity. When religion fixates upon the apocalypse above everything else, I believe it ultimately contributes more harm than good. By weaponizing our scripture, encouraging righteously confident us versus them thinking, and orienting life more towards what could happen in the future rather than what is currently happening in the now. Some of us in this room may have grown up in a tradition like this, religion that tended to be high on control and low on empathy. We need to be reminded over and over that life is not a contest to see who can get closest to the right answer about everything. It's not even a contest to see who can get closer to God. Life is about each of us growing spiritually into the truest versions of ourselves, and in doing so, each of us growing as close to God and each other as we can. When encountering apocalyptic texts like this morning's gospel, I think it's helpful to try to understand a bit more about what the world was like when these words were composed. The world that Mark inhabited was a world of fear. The Jewish people had lived in turmoil now for generations. Not only was their land occupied for the 300 years prior to Jesus' birth, but things were getting actively harder during this time. In the year 167 BC, Antiochus Epiphanes IV, it's quite the name, vandalized the temple. That's part of the story of Hanukkah. And then 100 or so years later, the temple is desecrated again. In the year 70 CE, which is right around the time that these words would have been put together, the temple was destroyed by Titus. Serving as both the center of Jewish life and their most sacred space, the temple had been violated for generations, and now it no longer stood. The priorities of Rome and the temple could not coexist, and at least in the conventional sense, the power of Rome prevailed in this moment. The world of the Jewish people was completely altered. Much of it was destroyed. All this context is important, I think, because the picture it paints is not of Jesus riding across the sky on a horse, coming to sort the saved from the damned, but rather of a people who were desperately searching for relief from the traumatic world in which they lived. These folks wanted to understand the world around them, just as you and I do. They were reeling and traumatized. They were looking for deliverance in any form they could find it. The idea of the apocalypse offered to them the possibility of respite, realignment, restoration. Of course, some churches continue to use these readings today to say that the second coming is near, that in the meantime, the sinful will be punished. In my mind, this contributes to an ugly us versus them type of theology that unfortunately is not only alive and well, but it also bleeds outside the world of religion. I'm not sure if any of you have watched the news recently. Our culture is overflowing with us versus them thinking and rhetoric. My side is at its very best when it's tearing yours down. It's not rocket science why we see so little decency in our common life. I'm not talking about issues of justice or injustice here, just more life in general. But if I am ever of one persuasion about something, and I cannot honestly imagine being in relationship with someone who thinks differently than me, I'm in trouble. From a practical standpoint, my attitude ends discussion before it begins, and it precludes the possibility of compromise, finding common ground. From a spiritual perspective, I'm ignoring part of what it means to be Christian, which involves seeking the image of God in other people, those who think like me, and those who don't. Refusing to see others who think differently, vote differently, make different choices than myself, either by looking at them as a closed story or as someone that's not worthy of my attention or brain space, that is not to seek and serve the image of God in that person. None of this behavior was news to Jesus. He understood that relationships with other people will involve division, and also that what can start as a small division can lead to a large break. He knew that we can be dangerous when we become too certain that we are right. And yet it's also true that Jesus grounded himself in hope, that he encouraged his followers not to lose heart. A version of this morning's gospel story is included in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Mark's version, which we read this morning, Jesus tells his followers not to be alarmed. And in the very last line of Luke's version, Jesus says this: "No matter how dark the night, not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your soul." Here's where I think the apocalyptic preachers get it right. The end does, in fact, come. The end of relationships, the end of seasons of our lives, the end of versions of ourselves. This moment that we're sharing together this morning, it is in the process of ending and leaving us forever. All of us know this somewhere deep inside. At times, we might try to deny this truth by living big, like there's not a tomorrow. At other times, we might be afraid to leave the safety of this particular moment. Either way, when we get stuck pretending like our moments are reproducible and never ending, we're ignoring the truth of our mortality. The message of our faith is not that we must follow all the rules in just the right way, so that when the apocalypse comes, we'll go to heaven and avoid hell. The message of our faith is that we are invited to notice that God is right here, in this moment, with us. It's a way of looking at our lives that just might change the way that we live our lives. For me, the apocalyptic warning is much less about how we'll spend eternity. That rests in God's hands. So do we. The warning is that if we're not careful, we run the risk of losing out on the life that's available to us right now, which is the only moment that's guaranteed. In the name of God. Amen.